There's a war and it's no longer on the horizon. The FCC versus Disney is here and Democrats are furious trying to save the House of Mouse. But folks, what have we told you? This whole thing is about The View. That's right, Whoopi, Joy, Sonny. They have enraged the federal government and you won't believe why. Today we'll tell you whether or not Disney can win this one and whether Trump's FCC has gone too far. Hello, folks, and welcome back to the Pro Channel, where we continue to deliver to you the truth with a capital T served up on a platter of chatter every single day. A four-course meal on your way. Ladies and gentlemen, as we dive in today about The View and how it has opened up an opportunity for the federal government to strikeify Disney right at the heart of its licenses for broadcast, we only ask that you click the like button. We have a panel of true excellence, including Ron Coleman, an attorney who has won at the Supreme Court of the United States, ready to take us through his forte, and that is broadcast television, if you can believe it. Out of NBC News, Democratic FCC commissioner tells Disney it is the target of a censorship campaign. In an extraordinary letter to Disney CEO, FCC commissioner Ana M. Gomez accused her agency of attempting to pressure all media into submission, which is a very mundane statement. She is clearly right in the middle and not at all biased whatsoever. All media into submission. Okay, well, that's not at all. Daniel Arkin writing this one. Disney and ABC are the targets of a sustained, coordinated campaign of censorship and control orchestrated by the Orange Godzilla, El Trumpo. His administration's Federal Communications Commission, the lone Democrat on the regulatory panel, said Monday. And everybody in the Trump administration was so happy they left one of those on there. In a remarkable letter to Disney CEO Josh DeMauro, FCC Commissioner Ana M. Gomez decried the political weaponization of the federal media regulator under Chairman Brendan Carr, a Republican appointed by President Donald Trump. Quote, you are not the first target of this campaign, and you will not be the last. But Disney's experience is, by now, the most documented and is worth laying out plainly. Gomez, a telecommunications lawyer who was appointed to a seat on the FCC by former President Joe Biden, highlighted a series of FCC regulatory actions that she said were aimed at pressuring a free and independent press and all media into submission, she found, to shine a light on what the FCC is doing to curtail press freedom. Now, I can't say just yet, folks, if she has a point here, but I can tell you that the press that's being defended is The View. And this is crazy to me, but ultimately, what is this mess all about? Whoopi and Sonny and Joy. Business Insider says, first Kimmel, now The View, Disney's pushing back.
That feels like you should sing it to the tune of Abraham, Martin, and John. Sonny and Joy.
Right. Peter Kafka says Disney doesn't want to be in a fight with Donald Trump, although I thought they did back when Bob Iger was in charge. It says so in 2024 and 2025, the entertainment giant appeared to be appeasing him. And this goes on to talk about Disney settled with President Trump on some stuff over ABC. Now, if we go here from the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, it says in the matter of KTRK Television, Inc. and American Broadcasting Companies, and this is the petition for declaratory ruling, and it goes on to talk about what this is, which is essentially The View is labeled as a news organ or a news program, and The View does not adhere to having Republicans on, and the FCC doesn't like that. Ron, because it's on a network, there's an argument that, you know, you got to have fair time for both sides of the political aisle. That obviously doesn't happen on The View. And this has kind of been amorphous. This has kind of shifted over time, what the FCC is angry about. So, Ron, I don't know how you're going to go with this one. You may surprise us in your calculation here, but what do you think about the FCC?
I may. So let me remind you of something that when this came up, that we discussed when this came up last time, which is that although ABC is a network, it is not its network-ness that is at issue here, because networks don't have broadcast licenses.
Right.
Stations do. But being a network means you own a lot of stations. And it is the licensure of those stations that is being put into play here. It is a bit of a stretch, not because, I mean, I will point out again, I'm friendly with Brendan Carr. He was also on my program. You know, really, I'm such a happening, for someone with only 13,000 subscribers, I am such a happening guy. It's really mind-boggling.
We know your X numbers, Ron. Don't you play humble with me.
Not only Brendan Carr, but also legal, whatchamacallit, we just mentioned.
Legal mindset.
Legal mindset. I mean, everyone involved in this is a butt. What Brendan Carr is doing is he is playing the kind of hard political hardball with the FCC that Democrats have done with other agencies for years. We're not really used to it, though, and the world has really shifted so much toward a sort of a laissez-faire attitude towards FCC content regulation. I wouldn't want to be the lawyer who takes this up in front of an appellate court. I mean, anything can happen in the district court, especially in the district of D.C., where a number of lunatics are on the bench. But technically speaking, what the FCC is doing here is legitimate, at least to raise the question, that because the view does have an exception from the equal time rule as a news program. And the argument is, and I think it is a cogent one. The argument is, it's not a news program. It is a political program like Jimmy Kimmel's show that only, that doesn't report, first of all, it doesn't report news. It's full of inaccuracy all the time. It doesn't really adhere to what a journalistic standard, but, and it is very partisan. But gosh, people don't really, there's not a lot of public support for the FCC getting involved in this. This is the legacy media. This is, I think, the wrong battlefield for conservatives to fight in. And again, I don't mind what Brendan is doing because I think the pushback and raising the issue of bias at the major networks is a legitimate political exercise, and it's not unlawful or unethical. But I think at the end of the day, it's gonna be unsuccessful. One of the interesting things, though, before you could catch your breath and say something else. One of the interesting things that's going on here is you have this FCC, which you just pointed out, Gomez, the Democrat member of the commission. Remember, there are three commissioners, two Republicans and one Democrat. For her to write as partisan a letter as she did while sitting on the commission is pretty much a norm violation in and of itself. So she's making a political choice, and it's not necessarily a bad one, but it does tend to undermine the credibility of the FCC in general, which, by the way, might not be a terrible thing because the FCC is 100 years old. It isn't really clear that it has a legitimate role in our economy, in our communication ecosystem anymore. I don't mind the idea that people who think and write about these things think hard about the role of the FCC. I mean, we're no longer, when I wrote that senior thesis, about the rationalization that was given the regulation of the broadcast spectrum, there was this idea that there's this really limited resource, which is the broadcast spectrum. And since the government is going to be in charge of giving out who gets what spots, what frequencies, there has to be some kind of fairness, some kind of government involvement. In the years since then, we have found ways to drill down deeper and deeper and narrower as to digitize even free radio and free TV. So, a lot of the rationale for it doesn't make a lot of sense anymore. But here we are.
Ron, let me ask you a follow-up on that. So, and we're getting a little bit of a back on that. Okay, so we have kind of mocked Disney in the past because this has been something we knew was a weakness for them. It was an opening for the FCC. And the opening is that The View is obviously not news. It seems to me that Disney enjoys labeling The View as news simply because of a marketing technique where they can come out and say that it's the number one news program in daytime network TV. Now that's a lot of qualifications to get there, but that's if they didn't call it a news organization or a news program, it wouldn't be number one in anything. I mean, it's like the Price is Right quadruples the viewership. And so for this very silly thing, Ron, they've opened it up to the FCC.
Well, but wait, isn't part of why they want to be called news that the equal time rule doesn't apply? And therefore, well, they don't have to bring on Republicans.
But I think what Pro, but Lou, I think what Pro is saying is, if this matters to Disney more than the equal time rule, where probably the FCC is vulnerable if push comes to shove.
Yeah.
But they want the marketing juice that comes with being able to say that this Yentafest is actually a news program.
If only it came on at 11:35.
As opposed to 11:34.
News at 11.
But now, to clarify for me, though, because my understanding was under the rules that exist, that if ABC News, for example, has a presidential candidate, major, you know, presidential candidate, ABC News also has to give equal time as a news organization to the other side. I thought this applied to news just the same.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does, but what I'm saying is that I don't think that would drive the decision as much as your marketing. In other words, if I were Disney's lawyer, I might very well say, this is the fight to fight. Let's throw down. Because we just might win this one if we take it all the way to the top, especially in the DC circuit.
Absolutely. Okay.
It's so not all the way to the top, but it's pretty far.
So Lou, let me ask you, because you've been in the industry, you've worked for network television and all this kind of stuff. Lou, this has changed over time. So, or at least it seems that way to me. I could be wrong about that, but it feels like we started off with Disney hiring quotas that may have been illegal and filling their stations in that way. And it's moved now to this argument. I thought the former was a much more potent argument if the FCC
it
was going to get involved.
But it's not the FCC's purview.
Right, right. So do you sense, though, this as a movement, and do you feel that this is weaker, though?
Well, but see, the big thing is, like Ron said, the overall percentage of the media we are all potentially exposed to, controlled legally by the FCC, has shrunk to almost nothing compared to what it was because of the rise of alternative media. So
let me throw out something else out. I'm not so sure, Pro, that they that the legal that Disney calling The View a news and information program and marketing it as a news and information program are inexorably tied.
Well, okay, so let me add to that then, Ron. My understanding is it's actually underneath the ABC News organization, like the funding and the leadership comes through that for The View, which is bizarre. So that may have practical effect on it. Okay, let me go to Wiz.
And the advertising.
Yeah, Wiz and Lady Desiree, whoever wants to go at this one. First Amendment considerations, this is part of what's being brought up. Every time there's a call for Kimmel to be taken off the air because he says something vile, we're told, oh, no. First Amendment. You've got the right to have a late night show. And every time we have these kinds of situations, the defense is the First Amendment. I'm not sure the First Amendment is actually the at stake here whatsoever, but that's the claim. Is this, at least in terms of PR, is this a solid fight that Disney can put up to say our First Amendment rights are being attacked under this? Does that garner any sympathy, you think?
I go to Lady Desiree first.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around The View being considered a news station. I think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Somewhere Whoopi is crying.
It's a ridiculous talk show that I don't know anybody who watches it. All this is going to become so obsolete in a couple of years. I feel like nobody my age watches the news anymore at all on network TV.
Lady Desiree, everyone who watched the number of people in your home state who watch The View, that's the audience right there. It's all the people in my mom's retirement community.
Well, and not to be morbid, but they're not going to be around forever.
And people stuck in waiting rooms at doctor's offices all across the country.
Now, you all are being mean to The View. You are being mean to The View, and I'm going to this completely blind. I want everybody to understand, I have never looked at this. We've seen prior reports. The View will release their own statements on their ratings through ABC News, through their own press release, okay? I haven't looked at this one, so I might get surprised, but it says The View ranks number one in households and total viewers among, and this is fun, among all daytime network talk shows. So I think they've updated that. I think in the past they called themselves news. They've switched that to daytime network talk shows.
It sounds like they're changing their title to fit whatever, you know, title they want to throw out there to say they're number one in, you know.
Well, the fun thing is daytime on networks is 11 to 2 p.m. Go ahead,
Luke. All those paragraphs on the screen are missing something. Actual numbers of eyeballs watching the show. You can be number one if your competition gets zero and you get one. So, you know, it's how you keep score. Now we move. Okay, there we go. 10%. Okay, all right.
I will tell you something. You know, I mean, to be really clear about this, I think look, after my father passed away 10 years ago, my mother, she should live and be well, married a marvelous man, takes care of her, and he should also live and be well. And he's been a little bit of a communist. But what The View has done to distort my mother's understanding of the world is criminal.
And this CNN and MSNBC now.
This is a woman who grew up in Cuba, the child of Polish-Jewish refugees who escaped the Holocaust, okay? And who was raised with an understanding of what freedom and liberty were all about. And her mind now is so mushy and so soft and pliable because of these yentas and their stupid, you know, non-thing. But it is soporific. I see my dear old mom sitting there and just, you know, nodding and just listening to these women agree with each other. It's criminal. It's elder abuse.
Ron, I have the same experience. I got to get this anecdote in. Same experience. I have a beloved family member who always has been just, you know, the most logical person in the world, goes into assisted living. And in assisted living, what do they play nonstop? CNN and MS Now. Okay, so what's the result of that? If you live in assisted living and that's all that's on, suddenly my relative starts calling me and saying, did you know about this? Can you believe this is happening? I'm like, that's not happening. They're like, what? It's on all the time here. It must be happening. No, it's not.
Worth, my 98-year-old mom, who is in an assisted living situation, all she does is tell me what jerks all the other people living there are for believing the bullshit they believe.
Lauren, you've been trying to get
in. I don't want to go down to dinner and talk to those people. They all spout that commie crap.
It used to be about bingo. Lauren, what do you got?
A couple of points. First, I want to ask Ron, if somebody is a little bit communist, would you say that they're slightly Stalinesque? And I think, to me, the issue when it comes to the FCC is there is the initial complaint that there was about them having the hiring practices, and whether that's within their purview or not, I know that's one of the things that initially they were being warned about. But I kind of disagree about the idea that because the market segment of people watching on the public airwaves has shrunken, that we should be paying less attention to how they're enforcing FCC policies on those bands. Because it seems to me that's up to the government to then address that and either open that up or because the issue as I see it is that you have all of these people on their public broadcast airwaves saying, who shall rid me of this troublesome priest? And in that sense, they're using public airwaves that are granted to them by the government to say that. And that is it acts like a tacit government endorsement unless they address that.
Let me toss this to everybody for context. Ron, I think that the reason they're doing this now, and I'm sorry, real fast, is because they know the House oversight is likely to change or could change in January. So if they're going to go after Disney, they have to do it now. Okay, Ron, go.
It's not going to change. Are you kidding? with the redistricting? Oh no!
I
agree. It's not going to change.
But let me
You're right.
Let me answer Lauren's questions. First of all, answer question number one is in my mother's case, it's quasi Castro.
Okay.
Not semi-Stalin.
The bell ringer of Havana, quasi Castro. Right.
Secondly.
I'm sorry, Lou, you got me.
You make a very important point, Lauren, which is that if that's the law, it is the FCC, it's the FCC's job to enforce it. There is, however, a question, but there are two questions, right? One of them is, and this goes back to what, you know, I think a few people have mentioned. How does it sell? Given that this is a political choice being made by Brendan Carr, how does it sell? What does it do for the politics? A and B, Is there a possible constitutional vulnerability here? Because the FCC Act has not been challenged on constitutional grounds for a very long time. But so have a lot of things not been that have not been challenged for a very long time. And keep in mind, on the Roberts Court, there is this inclination to find low-hanging fruit that mainly doesn't really matter that much, that the moderate conservatives can give to kick over to the other side to prove that they're fair brokers. It gets them nothing. It gets them nothing, but in their minds, they're demonstrating this might be an example of the kind of case. And you know, you said something very important about government endorsements. This was the issue that was before the Supreme Court in my big case, the Slants, the Inouye Mittal versus Kemp, which was, is if the government registers a trademark, is there endorsement of the message of the trademark? And the Supreme Court ruled correctly that no, it's just the registration of trademarks. The government is just holding open a basket and saying, if what you've got is, you know, qualifies under the law as a trademark, then we're going to register it. Not, you know, no one assumes that the government really believes that Coke is the real thing. No one really, you know, et cetera. It's hilarious.
Let alone that things go better with it.
Right. Listen, we can do an age test here to see how far our cultural memory is going. Yeah. But I don't think anyone, you know, Lauren, I think most people don't even realize that government really licenses, because there's so little. Remember when we were kids, and Lauren, you're a much younger man than I, of course, but remember when we were kids, you would have someone after the news came on, the 11:35 news, right? There would be a little editorial, pursuant to the equal time rules, you know, here comes Emily Latella to express her disagreement with a recent, you know, item that was on our news program, and she would be entitled to get up there. There was a guy in the New York area named Martin Abend, and he was this, you know, this cranky old Jewish right wing guy who would come on after the news and fetch about, you know, he's a man ahead of his time. But I don't think anyone is even cognizant of that anymore. These are really great issues.
Well, I wonder, look, because Brendan and the FCC have made noise and raised this issue, and this woman's fighting back and all that, it hasn't actually gone to any kind of concrete punishment or ruling or adjudication. Is it all just politics? Is it messaging to those on our side of the aisle? If you want people who are going to fight for you, you better keep us in power at the next election, or else these other guys will be running the show. Do they never expect it to go any further than it has, perhaps? I don't know.
I think you're asking a fair question, but Disney's throwing down. They're saying the things I would say if I were representing them, and I don't think if you're the FCC that you can take these actions and assume that there's not going to be pushback.
All right. Well, we go to the man of the hour.
In the briar patch, Ryan.
That's right. Speaking of a briar patch, it's on this man's face.
Yeah, that's right. Is that the case here? Good question.
Wiz, I want to go to you for the public reaction to this. How do you think this will play on social media? Who's the winner? Who's the loser? And what's the PR game? Like, how should the government be positioning themselves publicly versus Disney? What's the right way?
Unfortunately, I just see this being more of the same. I actually think the people that are already watching The View are not going to stop watching The View. The people that are already watching Kimmel are not going to stop watching Kimmel.
Almost no Kimmel to watch.
Right. Well, but almost to what Lady Desiree said, like, the people that watch these shows, the people that watch this programming, like, they're there, but they won't be there forever, right? So regardless of whatever happens here, it's the audience will eventually no longer be around to watch. They're not gaining new people. And so that's the angle that I keep this on. You know, whether The View ceases to exist or whether Kimmel ceases to exist, the next guy that Disney puts up or that Warner puts up or whatever the case may be, it's still going to get the same amount of people that are watching it now will watch it then.
That's right. And we're battling over, I think, 8 total stations. It may be 11 stations, but I think it's 8 stations. But there are some of the biggest markets out there, Los Angeles, New York.
And there is an argument, right, Wizard, that you're handing them the ability to wear the crown of affliction. Look at how we're the victims of government censorship. Yes. The orange man's coming after us. And I'm not so sure they've earned that. I think Brendan Carr understands his task, what he was appointed to do, very well. But, you know, it's certainly reasonable. People can disagree whether it's a great strategy.
All right. We will keep following this one, folks, and we'll bring you the different angles, just as we've done here. What a panel. What intellect and what expertise. Folks, this is why we get to do what we get to do, because we love it.
Pulling Holly Weird to the sensible center of the mainstream middle where money is made is not easy, but folks, you make it easy to make videos each and every day because sharing time with you is a great honor and we never take it lightly. An attitude of gratitude every single time we have the chance to shine with you. Until the next time, we only ask that you click that like button, share, subscribe, click it, stick it to the algorithms. It is the notification bell. Drop a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts. And folks, don't worry about paying any kind of tuition for this free class and how entertainment works. You are on scholarship. Highest IQ on the internet. That's you for sure. Until the next time we have the opportunity to spend time together, folks, we just ask that you keep learning, keep growing, and as ever, keep having fun.